Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We're live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We are taking your thoughts on the Titans. Joe, I want to throw this out there. You know, Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker both, clearly heading into this year, if you paid attention, had an expectation of this team not being very good, right? I mean, I think they tried as best they could. It was kind of like the opposite of the Rand Carthon offseason where they checked every box and hired every coach they wanted and every draft pick they made was coveted by the rest of the NFL. Like, it was kind of the opposite of that of, you know, they did their best to kind of keep expectations low. And they talked about the only thing they ever really committed to was, man, we just want to see improvement. Like, we want to see improvement. We want to see this team get better as the year goes on, which I think reading between the lines was like, well, this is the team that's got the number one overall pick, a rookie quarterback starting. We know that the win-loss record is probably not the most important thing this year, and they're not going to be very good. So we all understand that. Now, the way that it's played out, they are 1-11. The one win they have is a miracle. They are, for the most part, not overly competitive in most of these games. Cam Ward, as starting quarterback, has completed 59.7% of his passes, 2,351 yards, 5-7 an attempt, 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. The good news is he's now only on pace to be sacked 68 times instead of 70. So they did make some progress on that front on Sunday. I would love to know, on the Borgonzi front, if you would tell him before the year that it would play out this way, what would he have said? Because, I think you've got an expectation of, well, the wins loss is probably not going to be very good this year. But hopefully as the year goes on, you're seeing improvement from the quarterback. You're seeing some pieces that you can build around moving forward. And I think they're seeing some of that at times. But it's nowhere near, like, Cam Ward is not improving at the rate that we thought he could or would heading into the year. They have some foundational pieces, like DK looks like he's going to be a good player. But I don't know about you. I've not seen what I wanted to see from J.C. Latham this year. I've not seen what I wanted to see from Tavondre Sweat this year. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is a great player, and it's good to see him be a great player. But beyond that, they just haven't shown a lot. So there's an expectation heading into the year, and then you react to the information that you see while the year is going on. And I would love to know if you gave him some truth serum, like how much worse this is than maybe Mike Borgonzi even thought heading into the year. And how does he react to that?
Yeah, that's a good question. By the way, real quick, you triggered something in my brain. Did we ever have Big Joe asking Rand Carthon if this team can win a Super Bowl?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Rand, can this team win a Super Bowl? We're going to win it by a lot, actually. We're going to win the Super Bowl by 20 points.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. I don't think we ever had that.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's a huge missed opportunity for all of us. No, it's if you're Borgonzi, obviously you have so much of what's it going to look like with Cam Ward and the coaching together. Like that's there's only so much you can. I mean, there's so much. It's all wait and see in this league with these quarterbacks, right? But yeah, you probably had some decent expectation. That Latham moving to the right side, that's going to work out pretty well. It's a good question. And then, I don't know. I mean, maybe he did have, like, concerns of, for example, Tavondre Sweat. Like, man, I just don't know. This looks like a bad pick by my predecessor where they got him, and he's just not in great shape. And is he really going to make that much of a difference? I mean, if you're him, did you think that your second-round pick was going to do anything?
Good question.
I forgot. Does anybody remember that he's on the team?
Yeah.
Because he was a second-round pick last year. As much as we want to credit Borgonzi, he deserves some credit. And I agree with Kaharski that in that building, that's your hope, right? That he's really good. But, God, that second-round pick might really be a problem.
Could be.
Another second-round pick. So, if that's the case, you can't put too much shade on the previous second-round pick if that's your second-round pick.
Sure.
You probably thought that Ridley was going to – you probably thought that Pollard was going to be more like last year. You know that people kind of hit the wall. And I know Pollard actually, look, he might have been their best player other than Simmons on Sunday.
Maybe.
Which is wild. But you probably thought you were going to get more there. You thought you were going to run the ball this year with that offensive line, with Skoronski and everything. And again, Skoronski, he's probably up to your expectations or beyond it, right?
Yep.
And still. So I'm sure if you gave him this information right now, everything back then, there would have at least been a little bit of a shudder, like, oh, no. I mean, a lot of – very few things have worked out better than hoped, and more things than not have worked out worse than hoped.
Well, the expectations were, I think, measured heading into the year, right? Of, hey, man, if this team wins 5 or 6 games and the rookie quarterback throws some and shows meaningful progress throughout the year, we'll take that. Like, I think that's where most people had their expectations heading into the year. And it's just been so much worse than that. I mean, forget the coaching part of it, because you fired the coach – early in the year, and you know that part of it is what it is, and you got to, you know, a lot of it's still going to be determined by who is the next head coach you hire and how good are they at their job. But it just feels like, kind of peeling back the layer of this, they're so much further away than we thought they were heading into the year, right? Like, they just have so many holes, and they have some guys that may still end up working out and being good players for them eventually that just haven't done it yet. But I think if you could draw up, other than Cam Ward getting hurt, which has not happened yet, if you could draw up worst-case scenario for the Titans this year, it's probably this, right? Like, it's just looked that bad. Your quarterback has had a couple of games where he's been good, but by and large, it hasn't looked very good at the quarterback, and some of that's him, some of that's what's around him. The team is, like I said, basically non-competitive. Like, they're 1-11, and a lot of these games really haven't been all that close. Like, it's a very bad situation in a league where it, as Gentry pointed out earlier, it shouldn't be this bad.
Yeah, and that's the Cam part of it is like, if you gave Borgonzi the numbers right now, I'm sure it'd be like, oh, that's not good, you know, because the numbers aren't. I mean, 7 touchdown passes at this point, like. It's kind of hard to do, right?
It is, yeah.
It's hard to have only 7 touchdown passes after 12 NFL games as a starter for every game and playing every snap. Like, again, I know people are going to be like, that's not, you know, don't want to put anything on him. That's, you know, some people put it all on him, some people put none on him, but it's not good. The numbers would be bad. I'd be interested to know if, like, if you gave him, I don't know, I guess gave him the film or gave him enough of the film, if it would be way off from what he thought he was getting in Cam Ward or not. I would guess no. But I mean, you can find, I mean, again, you can find some film from this year. If you want to do the good or the bad, you can find some really good film, some really amazing throws, and then you can find a lot of bad too. So, it's, again, at this point, I guess it's like, well, this is what you're doing. This is it.
Yeah, I know. But I would assume, like, and again, you know, they're going to have a ton of cap space. We'll see what they do this offseason and how much they can flip the roster, because clearly it needs to be flipped a lot. Like, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So we knew that heading into it, but there's a massive amount of work that needs to be done. And that is, while still hoping that J.C. Latham is your right tackle moving forward, while hoping that Tavondre Sweat can be a part of your defense. I mean, there's a lot of things that are up in the air right now that I think heading into the season we were penciling in as being a part of their future that right now I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like for them this time of year from now.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I'm trying to think of other – yeah, obviously, I think the corner – you know, that's the thing too. It's like then you look at some of the moves, it's like, well, by the way, you have a complete rebuild coming at corner.
What's that? I mean, even heading
into you've actually somewhat created for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, heading into the year, I mean, I doubt heading into the year, he was like, you know what I'm going to do a few games in the year? Trade Jarvis Brownlee, right? But he did.
And McCreary.
McCreary, see ya.
See you later.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we probably had an idea that this would be Snead's last year.
I mean, I'll throw like
but
another one. I mean, he gave Imani Hooker a new contract. And it's not going very well this year. And, you know, it's hard to single Monty Hooker out when everything around him is as bad as it is. But, I mean, you'd be blind not to say he's having a bad year out there.
It is truly amazing. Like, just about everything they tried seems to blow up in their face. Like, yeah, McCreary, Brownlee out. Everybody, like, Snead, that's not a surprise. But they're out, so there you have to rebuild that position. You extend Hooker. It hasn't gone well. Byard's leading the league in interceptions, yeah. Which, again, that's way before Borghese, but I'm just saying, it's like people move out, they go do well elsewhere. People you decide to stay, no, other than 98.
Hey, they got the punter situation not completely wrong.
That's there true. You go. And by the way, there's some of their former kickers are out there doing some. What, Nick Folk?
56-yarder.
56-yarder to beat the –
Barely, though. Did you see it?
Little baby leg. Little baby leg Nick Folk.
He just got over the crossbar,
I mean, it was a worm burner, and it barely made it.
Hey, man. The guy, yeah, he's pretty consistent. Just saying.
Yes, yes.
Let's welcome in Ethan to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ethan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Good, man.
So I had a question about the tailgating situation at the new stadium, because, I mean, part of the reason that I'm not going to any of these games is because, I mean, there's no parking lot. My friend used to put on a hell of a tailgate, and a big part of the, you know, reason that I go down there is to, you know, you see friends, you see people's setups. It's got a communal feeling to it. And now, you know, you shuffle in with all the other people. It's like being at the mall, and then you get to watch a bad game. Even when the team's bad, you know, I still like going down there to see folks. But at this point, you know, like, it's not worth it just for the product that they're putting on the field. So I'm curious if they're thinking about, you know, the whole fan community when they're designing this new stadium. And I honestly, I feel like that does have something to do with the lack of attendance, but curious what you guys think.
Yeah, thanks for
calling. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean,
tailgating matters.
Look, right now it's hard, right? Because you've got construction going on, and, you know, but when the new stadium's up and they've got the new shopping center and all that stuff around it, what's that going to look like? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's going to be pretty limited in terms of tailgating. I think the idea is people. Like, there's, you know, you got Broadway right across the bridge, but also you have some new stuff there. So people, that's, you know,
basically a new entertainment district.
Yeah. But some people are like, yeah, you know what? That's $12 a beer, and like tailgating, like we can
go to the gas
grill
station.
Out, yeah. And we can bring a six pack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is another problem.
We'll get back into
add it to the list.
A lot of your thoughts on the Borghese Titans front. We'll get more into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
It's not often that a team gets four straight home games as you guys did this season. How disappointing is it to kind of go over during that four-game stretch here at home?
It's very disappointing. The fans are a big reason why, you know, we a lot of us play this game. The excitement they bring, the joy they bring, you know, even the negativity they can bring, that's all part of the job. So, it's just hard for me to, you know, not be able to do all I can do to put my best performance, you know, for the fans and, you know, for the city. But that's just something that, you know, we all got to go through together. You know, at the end of the day, you know, the storm going in and everybody going to be on the bright side of it.
That's Cam Ward after the loss on Sunday for the Titans. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025.
If Mike McCoy punts on fourth and two again, also I'm going to rip the headset off his head.
If he decides to punt again, I'm going to invite the fans to join me on the field to fight Mike McCoy.
I didn't know people would like to go for it. Man. I was thinking of you, Paul, when I went for it, finally.
Ed on the text line says, it's painfully clear we should have traded out of the pick. We gave up 2 firsts and 2 seconds for this level of quarterback play. And the same people that made that decision are in charge of the next head coaching hire. I have zero faith anyone in that building knows what they're doing. It's from Ed on the text line. Well, they could have an opportunity to trade out of this year's pick. So maybe you can recoup some of that.
That's true. You know, it's all part of the plan. Figure next year you'll get another chance at it. So why not?
Sure, that's what they were thinking at the time.
Yeah.
Indy Ben says, Nashville is starting to price people out of doing things. For example, I found out the hard way and paid $33 for one drink at a new music venue downtown. New music venue.
$33?
That's what he said.
I need to know what the drink was. Yeah. I mean,
we have, Indy Ben?
I will complain about drink prices in Nashville. Okay, don't get me wrong, but like $33, dude, that must have been one hell of a tropical cocktail.
Yeah. Maybe having a little bit too much fun watching the Colts.
I think, year. What was it?
Always got to rip Nashville, Andy Ben.
I think the tall beer was close to 20, though, at one.
Texter says, Tom Brady looked washed up his last few years with the Patriots with worse weapons than Cam has now. Should we not give him a ton of grace, considering that his best weapons are 3 fourth-round skill players? To which I respond, I was like, Brady's last two seasons with the Patriots, he threw for like 4,300 yards, 29 touchdowns. And I think washed up is probably a little bit of exaggeration with Brady.
He looked bad against Titans in his last game.
He looked bad against Titans in the last game.
It was still a little bit better than what we're seeing. Well, and he said, you know, from the Titans,
the narrative was, and I guess I get his overall point. The narrative at the time was his age was showing, when in reality it was just the supporting cast. Cam's a rookie with far, far worse weapons and coaching. I mean, I agree with that part of it. Like, I'm not willing to give a referendum on Cam Ward yet in terms of, you know, people saying he's a bust or they screwed up by not taking the draft pick. I mean, we talked about it at the time. I would have taken the draft pick. We talked about that a billion times.
Yes.
But they didn't. And, you know, I don't think what we've seen from Cam Ward to this year is disqualifying in terms of, like, he just has no chance to turn into a good player because the situation around him is bad. Now, I will admit that even with the bad situation around him, I would like to have seen more from him so far this year than what we've seen to this point.
I think that's fair. Yeah, for the record, this show would not have fired Mike Vrabel, nor would it have drafted Cam Ward. But the Titans can still get a good coach, and Cam Ward can still become a good quarterback. It is possible.
It is very possible.
Even on
possible.
Some of the nice throws, though, with Ward, I do wonder, like, the mechanics still look a little funky.
Yeah, they're weird.
Even the nice throws where it's like, okay, it's kind of sidearm, and he's got his foot, and it, like, kind of goes off to the right, and it's almost like a little, you know, like a little flick thing.
It looks a little weird.
Yeah, and it's a nice throw, and it's very accurate, but it was just looks a little mechanically different.
Yeah, and
I wonder if that will be, like, over time.
It's just hard to see assume that'll be overhauled, you know?
Yeah, and will that really affect his accuracy consistently over time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, that was number one for me. Not necessarily the mechanics, but just the accuracy. Is it going to be good enough over time?
Yeah.
But there's other stuff, too.
There's other stuff, too. And, again, it goes back to, like, Borgonzi. I think you've got an idea of all the work that needs to be done with your roster when you take the job. Like, Mike Borgonzi took the job and knew that it's the worst team in the league. He's coming in. So there's a lot of work to be done. And now you've drafted the quarterback, and there's still a lot of work to be done. And I think this year has gone worse than even they would have thought. And they'll probably never come out and say that. But and there's no doubt this year has been worse than anybody could have imagined. They're that bad. Like, we're talking about, and people are asking, I think, legitimate questions about, like, is this one of the worst teams in the history of the league? It's how bad they are. So I can't just brush that aside. Like, Borgonzi, there's a big job ahead of him, and they were always going to have a ton of cap space heading in this offseason. We'll see what they do with it. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to, can they make the right hire at head coach, and can he draft well? Like, can he make the right decisions in the draft moving forward to build franchise players? But there's a ton of work to be done, and it feels like a multi-year project. And I think if you would have told Titans fans that heading into the year about how far away it feels like they are 12 games into the year, that would have been incredibly disappointing.
No, I agree. I think we as a show, as a station, as an overall national media, picked them to win, what, 4, 5, 6 games?
Yeah.
Probably, right? Not to be just absolute ass.
Yeah.
And you think about this, you play it forward. You know, a year from now, if it's like, if they're a 3-4 win team and Cam Ward isn't markedly better, like, a year from now, we could be talking about Borgonzi. I mean, it's crazy. Again, probably should be Brinker at some point. He should be in line there. But it's a huge offseason to not get to 9-10 wins, but to look a lot better and to look like a legit football team. The cap space needs to be used, and the draft needs to be amazing.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it's not, and you're talking about, not only are we going to be talking about Borgonzi, we're going to talk about Ward.
But that's what it is. Right. That's why we're talking about Borgonzi. Yeah. Because if we're sitting there like, okay, maybe this kid doesn't have it, which happens fast. We just saw it with Will Levis. one pretty bad year. Yep, see ya.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then like you're all of a sudden what you've done as a GM is fireable. It's crazy, but it's true.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get into updated Heisman odds coming up next. Where does Diego Pavia stack up? We will get into that. Take your thoughts. This holiday season, 1025 The Game, looking out for the kiddos. We want to donate a bunch of stuffed toys to the Nashville Children's Alliance to be given to kids this holiday season. But we cannot do that without you. Join us at a Dunkin' location near your neighborhood the week of December 8th through the 12th to drop off a stuffed toy that a child will love. You can find the locations at thegamenashville.com/toy. Again, thegamenashville.com/toy. We'd also like to shout out the Metro Nashville Police Department for their help with this promotion as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Couple thoughts to get to on the Titans before we get into the Heisman stuff. Richard on the YouTube chat says, as far as J.C. Latham, I wonder if moving him to right tackle messed up his head, since left tackle is considered the position a better athlete plays. Do you think there's a confidence issue with J.C. Latham?
Okay, so wait. So the idea being that because they moved to the right, they're saying that I'm not a good athlete.
I guess.
Yeah, I think we're reaching there. The whole thing with him is he played right tackle at Alabama, but, you know, Bill Callahan and those. No, he's left tackle. Okay. So he wasn't very good last year. I mean, he also admittedly was way out of shape by the end of the year. I don't know, man. It's worrisome with him. Again, I mean, he's essentially been called out by multiple veterans. Mental errors out there and just not very good.
Well, and he's got some really bad snaps. And, look, you're not going to be perfect playing tackle, right? Like, when you're going up against Josh Hines Allen, and God bless them when they're going up against Myles Garrett this week, like, we know you're not going to win all of those, right? There have been some, though, where it's just been – like, that. The Spears play the other day looked like he didn't know what he was doing out there. And Spears just got up in his face and yelled at him after it. Blake Bedingfield pointed out at PaulKorski.com. Like, Spears is getting in his face after. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that happens because, again, that tracks with everything else. Like, people are mad at him on this team.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, Ultra BMW on YouTube says, Latham seems to not give a damn as a main issue. It's hard for me to believe that he doesn't give a damn. Again, he did do a great job getting himself in shape in the offseason. I mean, I don't buy that he doesn't give a damn, but there's a disconnect,
yeah.
And he's not responding well to being held accountable is what it seems like. And so, yeah, look, I mean, the guard thing, it actually, I would say that it's not completely off the table at some point. That he might end up being a guard. There were people in the draft process that thought he might actually end up being a guard in the NFL. So, more.
I will jump out this window.
Just both of your guys, both tackles played in college, yep. Moving him to guard.
Yeah.
Skoronski,
I mean, there's a lot of college tackles who play guard. But like Skoronski was always going to be a guard.
Not that we're drafted 7th yes, and 11th or not.
Yeah, you can't do that from that
sure.
High in the draft
for
and
sure.
Switch him in positions like that. And Latham never played left at Alabama.
No.
I wonder if he was one of the I don't want to speculate too much. If he was just one of those college kids who was bigger and stronger and faster and could get away with not trying as hard in college.
Well, it's an interesting break, like, you know, I brought up a piece that, you know, Bedingfield does at PaulKorski.com. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and read the whole thing, but he goes into, you know, a pretty detailed background of J.C. Latham. And he talks about, you know, some of the red flags that he's seeing. You know, one of the things he says, you know, second year man, top 10 draft choice, J.C. Latham couldn't block for the pass or the run in this game, which is not good. But he was talking about, you know, there were some flaws that Latham had coming into the draft process that the Titans just didn't seem to really care about all that much, and yet here they are, and they're dealing with him. Like he's like giving up power rushes, but he's also giving up pressures and tackles in the run game. And he says J.C. Latham is becoming a major liability who has lost confidence in himself. That's what Bedingfield says.
So to the initial question of the confidence, I mean, I think it is a confidence issue because he's playing poorly and because he's getting called out for it, and now it's become a thing. That's where it is, not the move. But I would also, to what Ian just said, I've said this before, look, Nick Saban, just like all these coaches, oh, yeah, this guy's great. Yeah. Nick Saban was like, basically, I'd like him to marry my daughter. He's an amazing, like, the intangibles are off the charts for this dude. He crushed the interviews. He was a leader at Alabama. So that's not it. It's not like, you know, they took a chance because this on a talented turd or something. Like, this guy was like high marks in terms of that stuff. But I think he's lost confidence. And again, I don't think he's responding well to some people being upset with him. And again, basically, he's got to figure it out, man.
Well, here's the one thing about
that's just a big, big problem. They can't afford to have that as a big problem.
Well, I don't disagree with what you're saying there about, you know, the background that he had heading into all this. But, like, you watch him play, and those two things just don't add up, right? Like, it's just there's some sort of disconnect going on. Like, Bedingfield says he doesn't block to the whistle consistently, but he blocks until he thinks or feels that the play is done, oftentimes looking behind him to see if the play is finished. Like, that should be a pretty correctable thing, right? Like, you block until somebody tells you to stop blocking. That's what I need you to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think it, like, you can be a guy that everybody loves and he's accountable and whatever, he's a leader, but then you get to this league sometimes and you get your ass kicked. I mean, this league can make people, I hate to say this word, but like, this soft is probably not the exact word, but like, it can make cowards of people, you know? And so I don't know. Clearly, he's just not reacting well to something, and I definitely think the confidence thing is pretty apparent.
Well, and you know, at this point we're 12 games in, right? I guess I don't really have any illusions now that in the month of December and the early part of January that it's going to get a whole lot better. So what do you do about that? If you're going back to the Borgonzi discussion, I mean, there's so many needs. You'd be hard-pressed to sell me that based on everything that they need, that you can afford to be drafting tackles that high this year. Having said that, like, if the level of play you're getting from your offensive line next year isn't better than what you're getting right now, which, by the way, is a conversation we keep having about this team, then you're going to be running into some of the same problems that they've got. And, look, I know that, you know, the sack number by itself is a flawed argument because, I mean, I think Sunday's a pretty good example. Some of the sacks that he took were definitely on Cam Ward. Like, yes. He's got to get rid of the football.
That's been
the case all year. So it's not just an offensive line thing, but the bottom line is, heading into the year, one thing we talked about was where you spent $20-some-odd million dollars per year on Dan Moore. You got a 7th overall pick at right tackle. Skoronski, to his credits, played well this year, but you got a center – that is coming off an injury that you gave top-of-the-market dollars to the last offseason. And then you brought in this veteran that's been a really good player throughout his career at right guard who has totally fallen off a cliff. And their offensive line, while not as bad as it has been, is still bad.
Yeah,
and that's where you are if you're Borgonzi right now.
I mean, really, Mandor's been kind of spared here in this discussion. So good job. You're not always awful. Congratulations, yeah. Starting left tackle. Now, it's just look around, man. Look around the league. There's way more bad offensive lines, I would say, than good offensive lines, or at least like pretty bad offensive lines than great offensive lines.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always going to be where you start in football. Can you win up front or not? And so it makes for some really tough choices. Like, you can keep going the free agent route and getting. It's not going to get much better than Dan Moore in free agency. You know, you can get a guard and stuff like that, but you really have to use valuable draft capital to fix an offensive line,
which
they've done. It's just that they keep getting it wrong.
Yeah,
Latham can't be them getting it wrong. Like, if that is the case, I have no idea how long we're going to keep talking about this, but we're just going to keep talking about this.
Well, and Kuharski said a couple of weeks ago with us that if he was Borgonzi, like, coming out of the trade deadline, you'd sit Latham down and be like, hey, man, like, whatever you got in you, I need to see it. Like, I need to see it in the second half of this year. And, look, I have no idea what conversations Borgonzi's had with Latham. But the bottom line is it's been way too inconsistent, and you're nowhere close to the growth you hope to see in year two of him as a starter as a seventh overall pick. And we're going to, at this point, if the season ended today, we'd be concerned as all get out heading into next year about Latham at right tackle. And that's a horrible spot to be in when you just drafted that guy seventh overall with everything else that's wrong with his team. And that's what I was scared of heading into the year. We talked about it a billion times, that he needed to be a great player by the end of this year. He's not going to be that. So,
no.
At this point, like, can he turn into a good player? Which, again, is not acceptable for the seventh overall pick, but I'm starting to get to the point with him where I just take it at this point.
If he's a good player, then you're not having to use a first or second round pick on a tackle, so great.
Yeah.
You know? But he's far from that right now.
615-737-1025. We will get into Diego Pavia and the Heisman Trophy coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar. Rex Road just ran out of the studio with 15 seconds left in the break and still got water in time. Look at him.
I mean, it's like,
a fourth of
it's not a lot of water, but yeah. It's enough to
get you through the segment.
Keep it going. That's right.
Ian said, wow, he waited until he got 10 seconds left. He's running out.
Yeah, it happens.
Do we have an update? You were talking about this yesterday that you were curious to see.
Yep.
The Heisman poll at The Athletic, which does feature some Heisman voters.
Yes.
What do we make of where that is now? And what do we think as we sit here today, December the 2nd, before conference championship weekend, of Diego Pavia and the Heisman Trophy?
So
is this a real shot that he's got to win this sucker?
So we got 26 voters, and most, if not all, have Heisman votes. Last week, Pavia got up to 5 first-place votes. This week, he is leading the way with 11 first-place votes. Now, he does not lead the poll. Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, 9 first-place votes. He has 13 seconds. Pavia has 7 seconds. Pavia has 5 thirds. Mendoza has 3 thirds. That is 56 points for Mendoza, 52 points for Pavia. Then you have a huge gap to Jeremiah Love with 23 and then Julian Sain with 18. And I need to find out my 4 coworkers who voted Julian Sain first. I just think that's just the laziest thing ever, and I don't mind calling them out. And if I find out who they are, I will say them on the air.
There we go.
Now you just have to figure out how do I find it out, you know?
Is it a hot take?
I got to be sneaky on the Slack.
This probably is a hot take, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is it a hot take to say that Julian Sain probably doesn't even need to be invited to New York?
No.
He's like the fifth best player on his team. No. He's a great player. And by the way, I think he's going to end up being really good. But if you watched Ohio State play, he's a good player. But, man, he's not had to deal with a whole lot of adversity so far.
He's had no game pressure, and he has the best defense, which is a big friend to a quarterback.
Yep.
He has 2 receivers who aren't just going to play on Sundays. They're going to, like, be really good on Sundays. I'm sorry. Like, he's good. No disrespect to him. He can't win the Heisman. He shouldn't be in New York. Mendoza should be there. Pavia should be there. Love should be there. I would put Arvell Reese of Ohio State and Reuben Bain might be my other 2 guys who should be there. Jacob Rodriguez, Texas Tech. I mean, I'm fine with Jeremiah Smith, too, by the way. His numbers aren't insane, but, I mean, if you want to just talk about, like, best players, I still think, you know, he's right there. Pavia, this tells me Pavia has a real chance to win this sucker. For the most part, these staff polls, obviously there's way more, you know, this is just a small sample size, but it's usually pretty close to how it ends up. Pavia's got a chance to win this thing. This weekend's important. I think that if Mendoza is amazing and leads Indiana to a win over Ohio State, I think he's going to win the Heisman.
I would agree.
I think if Ohio State wins, then I think Pavia is going to win the Heisman. I think it's almost that simple.
Let me ask you this. What if Ohio State wins and Sain throws for about 315 and 4 touchdowns?
Yeah, I don't – I mean, you never know. But I don't think – I think there's enough people who use their brains who can, again, see, like, you cannot even make the case that he's one of the top 3 or 4 players on their team. So I think that – you're right, like, if he's unbelievable. Again, he had great numbers against Michigan. I promise you I'll use my left arm and throw that touchdown pass to Carnell Tate against Michigan, okay? Michigan has, like, talent on defense. They're a very over – like, they are one of the paper tiger teams. If they play Vanderbilt in the bowl game, Vanderbilt will destroy them. They're not very good. But they have talent on defense. Julian Sands stood around and made sandwiches in the pocket Saturday. It's incredible. Like, Ohio State is just, it's a wagon.
Well, they're probably going to win the national championship again.
Yeah, I really hope not, but yeah, they might.
Is that who you would pick as your favorite for both of you guys right
now? I think they're the best team, clearly. And so Saturday's going to be interesting. There aren't stakes for these things, like in terms of, they're both going to get byes. But that's when you use bye. It's in a tournament.
Oh, good.
But it is very interesting to me. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see, like, if Ohio State's as good as I think they are, because they might just take Indiana apart. And I mean, I'd like to be wrong. I hope it's a good game.
What's the line in that game?
Let's see. I'll guess Ohio State by 7.5.
The line for that game is 4.5. Ohio State.
Those Hoosiers, man. A lot of respect for the Hoosiers. No respect for Vanderbilt. Maybe Vanderbilt just needs to be in the second year of being really good. Next year, then they'll get respect. But the Hoosiers are good. But Mendoza, if he beats Ohio State, then I think it's going to be hard to – I think he's going to win it.
By the way, I'm looking at FanDuel right now. And there's, you know, obviously conference championship weekend coming up. You got all the lines for those games. You've got Army-Navy next week, which they've got a line for.
Yep.
And the only other line on the book right now on FanDuel Sportsbook beyond those two weeks, is LSU Ole Miss in November of 2026. If you're curious, LSU's a 1.5-point favorite on the road.
Oh, well, good to know.
Let's just go ahead and throw that on the books.
Yeah, all right. So that's Lane, and then it's Lane – coaching and Lane's quarterback at Ole Miss now playing for him at LSU.
How many people a year out are betting on LSU and Ole Miss?
My goodness. That's funny.
That may need to be when you call the hotline. Like if you're betting on LSU Ole Miss almost a calendar year out, that might be when you need some help.
My goodness, that's wild. By the way, I'm in the text line. Thanks, Chase.
That's good.
Chase got me in.
He's back.
Is Chase trying to keep me out of the text line because I'm being too mean to people? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Have you been
going through a streak where you've been mean to people on the text line?
I mean, I don't think so. I think I'm fine.
What's your guess on Georgia-Alabama line?
My guess would be Georgia by 1.5.
That's close. It's Georgia by 2.5.
Okay. Even though Alabama went in there and beat them, I think Georgia is playing better football now than Alabama is.
I'm interested to see how that one goes. That has been the one team that Kirby, for the most part, has just not been able to figure out for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's been record. Both under Saban and DeBoer now, too.
Yeah. That's the thing. It actually is a big deal. It's a big deal for them just because of that, because it's Bama. Like, if it was Texas A&M, it'd be like, oh, please just get us out of here.
Yeah.
But I actually do think it's a big deal. Matthew Nashville, Stetson Bennett 2.0 talking about saying. Now, look. The difference is, I think San is going to be like an NFL. Like, San's going to be a good NFL high quarterback. Pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, this isn't about the NFL picks. Best player in college football is Diego Pavia. And I think he's got an actual real shot to win this sucker. And I got a topic idea for tomorrow that I've already put on the board.
We'll get into that.
Related to that.
So we're going to get college football playoff rankings tonight. And Joe, my guess is we're probably going to find out tonight that Vanderbilt's not getting in the college football playoff, but we will see. And I know the official rankings don't happen until next week.
Poor
but
Vandy. 10 wins, maybe the Heisman Trophy winner, best player, no problem.
Look, the committee needs to take it seriously.
We could be surprised tonight. You know, Vanderbilt's making their push. You never know what's going to come out of that room in the committee. But, you know, with them not having any more games and any more, you know, data points heading into next week, if they're not in tonight, probably not going to be in next week at that point. So,
yeah.
I guess we're going to find out tonight.
Yeah. Now, maybe BYU lose their coach Penn State.
Maybe
get
they
them
just,
out of the way.
Maybe they just bounce Ole Miss.
Bama loses by 100 to Georgia. Get them out of the way.
Maybe they change the rules and get Tulane out of there. That'd be nice.
No. We don't need that.
Stop that does it for us today. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.